Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ, Street and Outreach Telecast. My name is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., and tonight we have a guest. This is going to be her first of many, many appearances with this ministry, and you'll find out why later. Her name is Prophetess Pamela R. Cobb. And she's going to be used by the Lord tonight to open up with prayer and to close the show with prayer. And so we just pray that you enjoy the show. Hey, Prophetess, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Apostle, this morning?
I am fine. Everything is cool. Would you allow God to use you to open up with prayer before we get into this word, please?
Amen. Absolutely. Father God, we come this morning thanking you, dear God, for your goodness, for your mercy, dear God. We thank you this morning, God, that this broadcast, dear Lord, will be truly blessed by you, oh God. We thank you this morning, dear God, and we ask for your forgiveness, first and foremost, dear God, for anything that we may have done, God, that is not pleasing in your sight, oh God. We ask your forgiveness for our sins today, oh God. First and foremost, we ask that you have your way in this service, dear God. Let your word, dear God, penetrate hearts, penetrate ears, and penetrate spirits, dear God, that we go away receiving what it is that you have for us this morning on this wonderful broadcast this morning. We ask that you use Apostle Allen, dear God, E. Coleman, Jr., to your advantage, dear God, that we take what we get from you and his word, dear God, that you just have your way, and we just give you all thanks, honor, praise, and glory this morning. And we just thank you, dear God, for what you're doing in this service today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophetess. Thank you for letting the Lord use you. And we'll see you, or we'll hear from you at the end of the show when you close out with prayer, okay?
Thank you, Apostle.
God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. So it's important that you gather your Bible so that that way we can turn to chapter 6. And this is going to be a very familiar passage. It's going to be Judges chapter 6, verses 33 through 40. I'm going to be using the Living Bible and the King James Bible as the Lord leads. And it's going to be a very powerful show. Again, this show is geared towards victory. It's geared toward taking the land. It's geared toward those that are in a faith fight right now, and you need a strategic plan. Now, while you're trying to find that in your Bibles, I'm going to let the Lord use me to read the description of this message. In the spirit realm, there are two levels from which spiritual things happen. There's the third heaven and the second heaven. The third heaven is where Elohim lives, as well as his elect angels. The second heaven is from where Satan's demons operate, who are also known as spiritual wickedness in high places. That rank of demons are territorial, and they sit over regions, nations, states, cities, counties, villages, and neighborhoods, and households, and families, and generations, and lives. And they cause all kinds of problems and hellish activity that affect the lives and outcomes of regions and nations and states and cities and counties and villages and neighborhoods and households and families and generations and lives. When we that are in the human race are bombarding the third heaven for blessings and answers, those demons from the second heaven can and oftentimes will interfere with us receiving the answers that we seek when asking, "What do I do now?" God knows this. So he has devised a way for mankind to bypass and outsmart Satan and his demons when they try to interfere with us receiving blessings. One of the ways are fasting, and there are a few other ways, and there also is the fleece. Gideon, whose name in the Hebrew is pronounced Gidon and means feller, i.e. a lumberjack or cutter of trees, and it also means warrior, in the Hebrew. He was the fifth judge of Israel who knew how to beseech God. This is what we need to know how to do if we're going to get the victory from God and go to the next level of blessing in our Christian walk and life. Get on, put a fleece out, not once, but twice to God. The result was that he got the victory that he sought. Grab your Bibles, pens, and paper, and let's delve into the Word of God with one of God's modern-day apostles and one of God's powerful prophetesses, and let's examine God's strategy. Again, turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, and the Lord is telling me to start in the Living Bible, and I'm going to start at verse 33 so we can get some background on this text. Soon afterward, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and other neighboring nations united in one vast alliance against Israel. They crossed the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet as a call to arms, and the men of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their fighting forces, and all of them responded. Then Gideon said to God, "If you are really going to use me to save Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way." Thank you, Lord. "I'll put some wool on the threshing floor tonight, and if in the morning the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, I will know you are going to help me." And it happened just that way. When he got up the next morning, he pressed the fleece together and wrung out a whole bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to the Lord, "Please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet." So the Lord did as he asked. That night, the fleece stayed dry, but the ground was covered with dew. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we thank you for this lesson. We ask you to forgive us for our sins, for those that are just tuning in. And, Lord, we just ask that you do the teaching. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. Fill us with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Give us a spiritual understanding of your word. Light the fire of the prayer at the end of this lesson. And even now, again, you do the teaching. Answer questions, raise questions, reveal some things, expose some things. But most of all, Father, give us your strategy. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. It's important to understand of God. There are some things about God that we can never understand. One of the things is, why did he create or allow one of his creation to become his enemy when that creation would have no win against him? This is one of the questions that have plagued some of us that are Bible students, because we know that God didn't make Satan. He made Lucifer, and Lucifer became Satan. And when he became Satan, that meant he was God's adversary. He was the slanderer. Everything God said yes to, or everything that God did, Satan was totally against. So, if you will, imagine this and see this in the spirit realm. Those of you that are trying to get victory over something, those of you that are asking God to bring you out of a dilemma, those of you that is asking God, "Father, what do I do now? How do I get what you promised me?" Those of you that are doing that, see this in the spirit, if you will, a big table in the spirit realm in the shape of a checkerboard. One side is God. The other side, the enemy is sitting. Satan has challenged God to run of the universe, and God did not say no, but instead God said, "You're on." So the enemy, his people, are the checker pieces that he uses. He moves the bad guys, and God moves his own people, us, the good guys. And all through our life, it seems like there's always one trial after another. There's one obstacle after another. There's one problem after another. But the good thing is when you are on the front line and God is using you to fight constantly, it's a blessing. And some of you are going to understand this for sure. It's a blessing when you see the holy God of heaven defeat the enemy. It's a blessing when you see for yourself God slay every giant that you face. It's a blessing when your finances are in a bind and you see the Lord open the door and provide some finances that you didn't even see. It's a blessing when you see the Lord mend your marriage or when you see the Lord release you from an ungodly marriage. It is a blessing when you see God clean up a mess that we ourselves have made. It's a blessing when you see God use you in a strategic way to accomplish victory for you, for your children, for your household, and if you're married, for your spouse. Gideon was in a battle. He was getting ready to fight. It says in verse 33 in the Living Bible that soon afterward the armies of Midian, Amalek, and other neighboring nations united in one vast alliance against Israel. It's important to notice that when God chooses a nation, when God chooses a people, when God chooses a family, when God chooses a person, when God sets up and chooses a ministry, it's important to notice that a lot of times your enemies, some that don't even like each other, some that don't even know each other, they will get together and congregate and come against little old you. And you'll be in a battle and not know what to do. You won't know how to fight. Because with all of those enemies against you, it has seemed like you have no win. Because if you know anything about ambush, you know that these enemies will surround you to where you're in the middle with no way out. Concerning Israel, it said they crossed the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. God will always provide a place for you to sit alone with him to regroup. And if you're smart, if you're wise, if you're anointed, if you have the gift of discernment, you will know that during that peacetime is when you go to God and ask for a strategy. Verse 34 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet as a call to arms, and the men of Abiezer came to him. You have to understand that when you're in battle, God cannot use cowards. If you're a person that don't like confrontation, if you're a person that don't want to stir nothing up, if you're a person that want to be accepted and you're scared to make someone mad at you, then God cannot use you. When Gideon blew this trumpet as a call to arms, he was saying, get ready. The men of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their fighting forces, and all of them responded. So as well as having so many enemies against you, even when you're in battle, God always has someone that he will send to encourage you, someone that will watch what you're going through, and their heart will be pricked, and they will want to sow into the work, or they'll want to put their hand in the work, or they will want to come and help you. Don't ever think that you're alone in the battle. Elijah, in the book of 1 Kings, said to God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one jealous for you. I'm the only one that's willing to wage war for you. I've torn down altars. I've done this. I've done that. I'm standing all alone for you. And God said, no, you're not. I have a remnant. God always has someone that he will team up with you and use as a vessel to encourage you to fight, because God is a strategist. God is a God of war. He will wage war, and so will his people on the front line. When all of those people, Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun and Naphtali, when they summon their fighting forces, their military, their other people that's willing to fight and bust a move, all of them responded. Then Gideon said to God, if you are really going to use me to save Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way. Now, I must stop right there because there's something to notice in this passage. After he got allies, after these people came to his aid, after all his ducks were in a row, he didn't just jump into the battle. He paused. He took inventory. He saw what he had, and now he went to God. Don't put your emphasis on your proclivities, meaning your perfections or your strengths. Don't do that. Don't do that. So you can pray. Praise God. But don't put your emphasis on that. So you're a good teacher or preacher, you know, the Hebrew, the Greek, Latin, Aramaic, whatever. Don't put your emphasis on that. Never get to the point where you depend on you, because the enemy that you're fighting has been around over 6,000 years. Satan is very clever when it comes to offending us, hurting us, attacking us, tripping us. When Paul, the apostle, was used by God to write, to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil, against the wiles of the devil. In the Greek language, the word wiles mean schemes, tricks, plots. The enemy is the master masquerader. He's an opportunist. He was able to use the body of a serpent and go in the garden and trick Eve. He didn't even go to Adam and say, did God really say? He went to Eve and said that. The reason why is because even the devil knows order. He knew that God gave Adam instruction, and when God gave Adam instruction, Eve was not made yet. So he knew to go to the woman. He knew that life also came through her. So let me pollute the womb so that everything that come through it will come out corrupt. Adam, being very sissified, stood there with an Ahab spirit, even before Ahab was born. He stood there and just let the enemy attack his wife, let the enemy trick his wife, and he allowed his wife to try to fend for herself. Some brothers that are praying for marriage, one thing God wants you to understand, you need to learn how to carry your wife. You got to learn how to carry her. Some of you brothers are single and not married because God knows that you put everyone before your wife. Your mother comes before your wife. You won't make a move unless you call mama first. Mama might not even be married, but still you want her counsel or her approval. No, my brothers, you can't do that. Some of you sisters are still single because you don't know what it means to come under your husband's umbrella. God gave him headship. God gave him authority. God told him to watch over you, protect you, lead you, feed you, govern you, and yet you want to go solo because you can't do a duet. So God says you're not ready to be married. Some of you don't have a job because God knows that if you get a job, you're going to think you're the cat's meow. You're going to think that everything comes from you. You take credit. Some of you can't even be healed from sickness because if you do, the first thing you say is, I knew I was going to get better. You trust in your own self. Scripture doesn't always say word for word how to handle stuff. There's a couple of ways the Bible talks to us. One is by written expression. It's called the Logos, the expression of God. His word is his will and his way, and he talks to us through it. The other way is by example. There's some things you will see that the Bible says was done, and you see the outcome. So that's a way that Scripture is talking to us as well. And that's what it's doing here. Gideon, he got this backup. He got this help. And what he did is he went to his God. And he bargained with God. He reasoned with God. if you are really going to use me to save Israel as you promised. Now, there's a lot of people that are declaring and decreeing stuff, and they're doing it on their own. And then when it don't happen, then they have nothing to say. They don't want to admit that they were wrong. You cannot declare and decree nothing because we have no creative power. God is the creator. If God says it, everything says yes to God except us. And we're made in his image, spiritually in his image. We have personality, which consists of emotion, intellect, and will. Those are the three traits of personhood. Some people put emphasis on their dogs and horses and say, and cats. And, oh, these are very smart animals. Animals do not operate by intellect. They operate by instinct. So they have emotions, yes, but they operate by instinct. So they're missing intellect and will. Let's prove that. If a dog see a cat, he will chase it. A car could be coming every which way, and a dog would be so focused on that cat by instinct that he'll get hit by that car. Instinct. When God allows you to have a moment to regroup, it's important that you go before God and you ask him, what do you say about this? What is your will in this? You blessed me to meet this person. You brought them into my life. You brought me into their life. You joined us for a reason. What is your purpose? And then it's important to listen to God. Gideon said, if you are really going to use me to save Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way. Now, the way he's getting ready to tell God, it's not that Gideon thought of this, but God put it in his spirit, because you have to understand something about Gideon. In the book of Judges, there were 13 judges, and that's a name for prophets and prophetesses. Remember this. Some of the names for prophets and prophetesses are prayer warriors, intercessors, poets, poetesses, judges, governors. Yes. Deborah, she judged Israel. She governed them. She sat over the ministry and was used by God to judge Israel. When Israel had a problem, they came to her and say, what does God say about this? And she was able to be used by God to answer it. So in the book of Judges, there were 13 judges, but there were 12 military reformers, and the military ones were all male. There's something in that, but that's for another time. God treasures his daughters. He's not going to use his daughters to take off the earrings and take off the heels and put the Vaseline on the face and go out there throwing hands. That's not how God made his daughters to be. It's supposed to be ladylike. It's important to understand how to be soft and flowerish and submissive. Loud and rowdy and arguing and fussing and I want to do it my way. That's why some of you are single. Because you have not allowed God to put your attitude in check. A lot of women say that they're virtuous, but yet and still when they open their mouth, wisdom don't come off their tongue. Instead, strife, anger, and again, soloism. Deborah, the prophetess, was not one of the 12 military reformers, but she was a judge. She did sit over Israel. But when it came to fighting, God had 12 men that he used as judges. Gideon was the fifth one. He went to God and said, if you are really going to use me to save Israel, as you promised, prove it to me in this way. I'll put some wool on the threshing floor tonight, and if in the morning the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, I will know you are going to help me. And it happened just that way. When he got up the next morning, he pressed the fleece together and wrung out a whole bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to the Lord, please, don't be angry with me, but let me make one more test. It's important that even if you get ready to get married, all the way to the altar, every step you take, say, Lord, is it you? Lord, is it you? Lord, is it? Lord, is this really you? Lord, the closer you get to the altar, Lord, for real now, look, is this really you? Please don't be mad at me. Abraham said to God when he was bargaining for Lot in the book of Genesis, he said, peradventure you allow me to speak one more time. If you find 40 righteous, you know, as he kept going down, he was asking God, please don't be upset with me. Now, I know the older folks say don't question God, but that's not what Scripture says. If you were to write this down on your notes, or if you're quick enough to turn your Bible to the book of James, chapter 1, and if you notice verse 5, Scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So what that Scripture is saying is God won't get mad if you ask him a question. Some people say, well, God won't put more on me than I can bear. That's not biblical, because also in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, meaning he do not change. The way he did it then, he do it now. If it's what you're going through, if it's not good and perfect, then God didn't do it. He allows us, let's hang on that word. He allows us to go through some things because there's some things he want to teach us sometime. Everybody talk about how Job was a righteous man and he lost everything. Yes, but he was really, his name was Jobab. He was the second king of Edom, and that's why he has so much stuff. And because he had all this stuff, he was self-righteous. And so God allowed the enemy to take his stuff, to teach him humility, to teach him it's not about your car, it's not about your job, it's not about your money, it's not about your house, it's not about your CDs or your annuities or anything else. It's not about what you have, your inheritance, or it's not even about who the family is that you're from. It's about God and having his favor. So Job, because he didn't know about the enemy, he wrote, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That was not a statement of truth. It's a true statement that Job wrote it. Yes, if you say, well, it's in the Bible, Job wrote it, that's a true statement. Yes, it is. But that was not a statement of truth, because God does not tempt or take stuff. He allows the enemy to do it. God is so sovereign, he even uses the devil for his glory. Gideon, when he saw that God did the first thing, he said, okay, Lord, that's good, but I got to ask you again. Come on, Father, please allow me. Please don't be mad at me. Please don't be angry with me. Verse 39, then Gideon said to the Lord, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more test. This time let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet. So the Lord did as he asked. That night the fleece stayed dry, but the ground was covered with dew. It's all right to ask God for a sign. It's called a fleece. I'm putting a fleece before God right now about something, something very important. God has me on the brink of a blessing. He's answering a prayer. He's making a way. He's opening a door. And I'm going before him saying, Lord, give me your strategy. How do I get this blessing? Y'all need to ask this. Lord, how do I get to the next level? How do I get this blessing? How do I get my healing? How? And the Lord will show you. God bless you, and I hope you enjoyed this. You could look at the description and see the number to call for prayer and everything, and for your protection and everything, I'm going to ask Prophetess Pamela to let God use this powerful woman of God to pray over you. Prophetess, you still there?
Yes, I am, Apostle.
Let the Lord use you. Please, don't worry about the time. Let God use you. Go ahead and take the 2 or 3 minutes. Let God use you. It says 60 seconds, but it's going to go over that. So don't worry about it. Let God use you.
Father God, I would like to say thank you, God, for using Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr. this May 4th morning, dear God, using him for your glory, dear God, for your kingdom, dear God. Thanking you, dear God, for what you have instilled in him to pour out into us, dear God, for the kingdom, dear God, for your glory, dear God. Thanking you for Judges 6:33-40, dear God, and allowing us to partake in what it is you would have us to know, to take in, dear God, what it is you would have us to be and for us to do your will, dear God. Thanking you for the word, God, through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Ministry, dear God, and just asking that you have your way in our hearts, dear God. Give us what it is that we need, dear God, today, and we will be careful, dear God, to give you all the honor, praise, and glory for what it is that you are doing in this season, dear God. You are a mighty God. You are a wonderful God. And we just give you praise, dear God, tonight, thanking you, dear God, for what it is you're doing in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we close, I want to ask you a question, prophets. What did God give you out of that? If the Lord were to use you to share something with the listeners, and if it's something that he were to give you to leave with them that they might chew on tonight as we part, what is it? Let the Lord use you. What is it that God gave you and showed you and would give you to say unto the listeners?
Amen, Apostle. Well, I truly got out of what it is that you were saying to the people, dear God, that to just allow God to just be in control of whatever situation that you encounter, to allow God to just minister to your spirit about whatever it is that you are dealing with on a daily basis. Just allow him to be God, because he is God all by himself, and he is in control of every situation, of every encounter that you may endure, and that God is all that we need in every situation in our lives, in our daily walks, in our spiritual lives, in our just dealing with everyday issues in our lives. I got from Judges that God is a God that will not turn his back on you, that he will lead you in the path that you should go, and that you should just trust and just allow him to be God, because he is God all by himself.
Praise the Lord. That's important, too, because a lot of times, even where we were saying how all those nations parlayed together and they was going against Israel, sometimes it do seem hard when you turn around and it seems like there's no way out of the trial. You understand that?
Amen.
So what do we do in situations like that when it seems like there's no way out and we're just caught up in this trial? What do we do? There's some people right now that's been praying to God to straighten some things out, and it seems like he's not hearing them. And they're about to lose their faith. What do you say to them?
Well, I say in the midst of a storm, I find that to be still and to be quiet and to just pray and listen to what it is that God is saying to your spirit, because God is always leading us. He is always telling us what it is that he desires for us to do in his word. And he will, if you ask him and you listen and be quiet and be still, he will always lead you to what it is that he will want you to know. If it's through a Bible verse, through in Psalm or whatever, I always find that God leads me to a prayer. If I pray and ask him and seek him, he always leads me to where he wants me to go, to what he would have me to know about a certain situation or anything. That I just trust that his word will lead me out of a certain circumstance. I don't let my situation get on top of me. I always stay on top of a situation according to God's word.
Praise the Lord for that. And lastly, is it important to have a prayer life?
Absolutely, Apostle. It is important to have a daily prayer life. You can pray anywhere. You can pray while someone's talking to you. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray with your eyes open. Just pray without ceasing, because you always need to be fed. To me, you can always use God's word as a meal and then go back and have it as a snack, because it's always there to feed you.
Amen. And I just like to throw this in there. There's some people that think that you can pray from your mind, but that's not true, because prayer has to be spoken. It's even if you don't, like Hannah, when she was praying about having this baby, she didn't verbally, you couldn't hear what she was saying, but she was moving her lips, because prayer is something that is from your lips. There's a lot of people in the places of worship who sing that song, "We Bring Sacrifice of Praise," and they do it around offering time because they mm-hmm. consider that being a sacrifice of praise, but it's not. The Bible says, mm-hmm. "Let us give him the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips." So prayer has to be spoken. Praise has mm-hmm. to be spoken. So if there's mm-hmm. anything lastly that you want to share, we're going to close out, Prophetess.
Amen. I would just like to encourage anyone that has a self-esteem issue, that Psalm 23 encourage you. Over 16 times it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of the righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That encourages me, because God specifically states what he would do for me no matter what is going on in any situation, any given day, any given time. If I just seek him and just trust him and stand on his word and keep his word hidden in my heart. And you can just say this to yourself, just overpower yourself with God's word and just keep his word hidden in your heart and use it when you need it. It's your weapon.
Praise the Lord. Now, we didn't enjoy this extra time. That's good. And I just want to ask you one last question, then we got to close out so we don't get cut off. It's better to have excess than not enough. The question I want to, what I mean by that is, it's better for us to stop and then it still be room to record instead of it cutting us off and people don't get the rest of this. But I just want to ask you this. For the sisters that are listening that enjoyed how God used you and how God used you to pray and that enjoyed the words of wisdom and the word of knowledge that God spoke through you, how can they reach you on Facebook, the sisters that are listening?
You can reach me on Facebook, Pamela Johnson.
Praise God. Pamela Johnson on Facebook. And they can write you in your inbox and everything, right? And you'll
right.
respond to them, correct?
Yes, Pamela Johnson.
All right. God bless you, Prophetess, and it was a blessing having your help. And, again, thank God that this is one of many times and things that God is going to use you to do and use us to do together. God bless you
Amen.
So much, and I love you.
Amen.
I really love
thank you for
and
having me. God bless you. Thank you.
I love you, sister.
I love you, too. God bless you, Apostle.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen.
All right, brother. And God bless you all. And thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. And until the next time, may the Lord be with you. And you, sisters, please reach the Prophetess. God has really put a word in her mouth. She's a very powerful woman of God and a prayer warrior. And those of you other prophetesses, y'all know how y'all do. Y'all prophets and prophetesses, y'all can pray till Jesus come back. Us apostles, we're word people. We pray, but God, y'all just, when y'all pray, y'all just go through levels and dimensions of prayer. Praise God. God bless you. You can call the ministry at 203-745-8162, 24 hours. If you also look in the description of this message on my Facebook wall, Apostle Allen E. Coleman Jr., that's A-L-L-E-N, Apostle Allen E. Coleman Jr., or Street and Outreach, Modern Day Apostle, I think. But I do know Apostle Allen E. Coleman Jr. If you type my name in your search engine, or if you look up there on Facebook, you'll see me, and you can visit the ministry's website. Just type in The Word of God, TJC, SNO Ministry in your search engines. The N is the ampersand on your number 7 key on your keyboard. Or you could just type the whole name, The Word of God Through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Ministry, and you will be able to reach the ministry's website. Let God use you. And the Lord allow you to share a love offering with the ministry. Do that also, because we do street ministry. We're heavily geared into that. And right now we're doing things for children and veterans and runaways and elderly and everything. So your support and your help will be a great blessing as God uses us to help those that are homeless and sleeping on benches. I love you all, and God bless you, and stay encouraged. And don't forget, 203-745-8162, 24 hours. Also, don't forget to reach the prophetess at Pamela Johnson on Facebook, okay? Pamela Johnson. And you'll know it's her when you see her. God bless you, and stay encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.